They don't go with just the 100% what they need. They go with the 150% of that, so they can feel safer.
Welcome to the Mega Projects Delivery Intelligence Podcast, your number one source of information for key mega project stakeholders, from construction to technology and from energy to finance.
Exploring strong foundations. Today, we're delighted to welcome Najati Suda, a project manager with a lot of experience in construction and foundation. What should I say? What is even the foundations question? What is it called?
Okay. Well, foundations, like, there are different type of foundations. So you can, like, well, at the end of the day, every structure needs a foundation, right? And so this can be like a deep foundation. This can be just an excavation pit. This can be many other things as well. And but generally, foundation is just what the word means, right? Bottom of every structure is just foundations. You can
Okay.
call foundations for businesses as well, right?
Indeed, indeed. And so maybe then, why is this a question even worth looking at? Surely foundation is foundation is foundation. What could people possibly hope to better understand when thinking about the world of foundations, particularly for large scale projects?
Well, when you have a large scale of project, even though it doesn't matter how big is your project, foundations sector is a small sector. I would always say like it's a 1% of the construction. So that's why it's a kind of a overlooked part of the building industry. And the contractors usually, for them, it's just like, when are you going to finish it? That's, I need this foundation and this thing. Can you do it? And this much money. That's what the contractor side is looking. But if you go deep into the constructing a foundation, it's huge. It's very technique and like it's huge.
And what can people get wrong?
What people get wrong is, I think people just doesn't understand how important it can be, how bad things can go during the constructing the foundations, and they will always pay the price for it afterwards, right? Once it is not getting caught during the execution. Well, what they have to do is, like, I think they just need to understand that this is a important part of every structure, and they should really approach this in a way that they really care. Not just only when you can finish it, just how much money it will cost for us. It's just more than that. They should choose the correct foundation, not the cheapest contractors, and just do what really needs to be done, you know?
And what about you? How did you get into this? Where does your passion for foundations come from?
Well, it was, of course, it never started as like a passion, but then once I get in the sector right after my graduation, then it became an addiction, you know. And then the patient, my patient, I would call it, that's just a problem solving, and foundations are where you can have a lot of problem because it's unknown. That's, you have to just take your best guess because it's underground, no one sees it, and no one will ever see it most likely. And that part is just giving me excitement. Like, before you start any project, and you, like, you know, maybe the soil, you have all the reports, all the geotechnical reports, and you can review it, you can understand, you can read it. But it's always different once you start getting into the soil, right? So that's just excites me a lot, actually. That is just unknown, and you have to just get really take your best guess and see what it really is.
So that's very interesting because, of course, it is the best estimate of what is beneath the ground, and I guess then you have to determine if that was in fact correct when you go and begin construction. But what does the rest of the large scale project world need to better understand but they don't quite understand about your work. And perhaps we could divide it into two sections. Those that simply arrive afterwards and, reap the benefits of your work, and those who are planning from the beginning and may not really consider, the value of what you do. What should they better understand?
What they should better understand is that they should, first of all, understand that the experience the people has in the sector, they know already enough, and that's what they do all the time, right? But they resist to be educated, I would say. When it comes to a large scale project, like you have to listen your contractor. You have to listen, like. That's also another issue with the foundation sector, right? So everyone is just a sub trade. It's just never the main contractor. It's always a sub trade. And once you're a sub trade, so you have to just kind of follow the main contractor there. And this sometimes makes things harder than they're supposed to be, because people resist to be educated in this, and that's just comes to a trust issue also. Like, a contractor can easily think, okay, so this just subcontractor wants to just make more money, want to make more profit or whatever. They just want to do on their own way instead of listening their sub trade, and which is the foundation experts, right? They definitely need to listen their sub trades more and pay attention what is necessary, what is needed according to the experts.
And so maybe could you paint a picture of a scenario where, let's say, the project has decided that the soil is X, Y, and Z, and then the engineers come in and find out it's not quite X, Y, and Z. Is that something that happens often?
Well, I don't know how often it can happen, but it does happen. So designs can always change. The engineers can always say, hey, you know what? Maybe this wasn't a great idea. That's why it's a common practice, especially large scale projects, even for the small commercial jobs, that you, like, as a foundation company, you would rather to offer your clients some kind of load testing, some kind of static or dynamic load testing to prove the assumption of the engineers, what this soil can bear, right? So, and that's the most guaranteed way. And also this helps the sub trades as well. So when you make a trial phase, when you make a test phase, where you can test your equipment, where you can understand your ability and your the have a some kind of feeling of the soil. So then you understand better what you are working with. And but this is not always the case, because commercial jobs or like small size jobs where the budgets are issues, they don't want to spend like 50 grand or 150 grand for a test, right? They don't want to do that. That's why, but it's an important step to go through. So if we to picture this, like, once you have, let's assume that you have a planned testing phase, and then you make your test, and then you execute all the necessary tests, whatever engineers are requiring, what kind of assumption they did, just to prove their assumption, right or wrong. And then, so in both cases, you find out an answer, like what you are looking for. Did you make the correct assumption, or did you need to change something? And then this can happen. I saw it happen, like the several test phase that became necessary due to design changes, like due to ability of the sub trade was not able to execute the work how they plan to do. And I have seen that happens, but can't say that's happening so often, tell him.
Is it off more often that you know what that soil is like, but the project still wants to try and use it? I think I mentioned to you, previously, that I saw a project that knew it was on granite, and yet it still wanted to proceed. Does that happen a lot? And how do you then manage expectations, particularly in cost and difficulty?
Oh, at the end of the day, you have to make a decision when you come to such situations, right? So yeah, okay. So you start with the wrong foot. Fine. You have to move forward always. If you are not planning to find out that that was a granite there, but then you happen to have like that there was some granite or harder soil than you imagine, then you have to just take action and just understand what you can do and make a plan. You have to be always flexible, right? And when it comes to the when it comes to like when the subtrades when they assume wrong, like for example, when they think that this job according to this soil, well, let's say this is a local company, right? Just working in the same city or same area, they already know the soil. They know the soil condition, every part of the city. For them, they make more accurate assumption, right? So, but then things can change. The soil can be unknown. That part of the city or that part of the world is not what you expect. And when this happens, then the trades are usually suffering, you know. They with their claims, with they have to like under they understand now that this job cannot be completed within the budget, and no one is doing a charity, right? It's always business. So those situations are the toughest ones, to be honest, for a sub trade. And as I said, all the foundation companies are sub trades.
No, that makes sense. But particularly around the world of mega projects, we seem, if it's an industrial mega project, okay. But specifically with a lot of other buildings, people want to go higher and higher, in certain geographies in the world. What does that do? And does it make your job harder, or is there now a tried and tested model for, 1 kilometer high buildings? I'm exaggerating, but what do you
Well,
think?
it's not impossible, right? So you are as an owner or like as a you wanna just build something, right? And then you have the soil design, and then it is all constructed, all the foundation is done, and then you make your test. Like let's say you executed a couple of you did some load testings or whatever, and then you understand actually your foundation is better than you thought. And then it comes to okay, can we raise this building? I have seen that one happen. That happened once. Like one of my project, there was we had some trouble during this work, and then at the end of the construction, we found out that it was just a friction piles, and then we found out that some of the piles were damaged. So we had to come up with a solution to just increase the amount of piles so the building will have sufficient bearing capacity, right? But then the once this was completed, the client has also changed his mind and wanted to build extra couple more floors. You know, why not? Like this is my new foundation, and it happens in some part of the world, especially where the regulations are let's say avoidable, or like you can get around of the regulations. That happens. That happens for sure.
So do people literally say thanks for all those foundations and thanks for telling me their load-bearing weight? Now I'm going to test it, and you say the max is dot dot dot. Does it work that way around, where they're like, "Wow, you said the max load is," and then they work according to that?
Nice. Well, mostly the engineers comes up with like, okay, so this is my building, and this is the bearing capacity I need. And usually also like the foundation companies, it's important to have a engineer in the house who can suggest a better solution to the building designers, because they have more experience in a specific part, which is the foundations, right? So they can come up with, hey, you want this, but actually you don't need this much. You don't need this. We can offer you blah blah this technique, or we can do for you this kind of piles. We can do this way of piles, and then we can just save you some money, we can save you some time, right? So this is, I think that this is what is mostly happening. What I see is every sub trade, they wanna get the job. When they want to get the job, they feel obliged to bring a better solution than what other companies are offering, like maybe a faster execution, maybe a cheaper execution, right? Maybe just a solution that is just more permanent. I don't know. Like it's just a case by case, right? Every structure is different, and every structure need is different, right? It's not always just the bearing capacity. Some people, hey, I wanna have this, I wanna just make, I don't know, 10 meter deep excavation. And then what can you do for this? And then every company have different options to do this, right? Whatever is available for them, whatever they have already invested, they like to do that one. That such a foundation that they believe, whatever they believe is the cheapest and the best option for their clients.
And so what would your thoughts be on, some of the architects out there? There's lots of architects out there that don't seem to ever want a commission, but they're still architects. But that's fine. They're very creative people, and they come up with some very interesting shapes and curves and twists and you name it. But what does that do to your work? Do you find yourself often saying, well, you can have a semicircle, but how does the architect's dream square with the solid foundation
I think
reality?
the civil engineers mostly suffer on that, probably what architects want. But they it's just always compromise, right? So you have to come and meet in the middle. It doesn't affect really the foundation part of the structures, because it's just the building weight is not gonna change, but like how they built the structure might different. And then the this is just, I think that challenge is just happening, where the architects and the civil engineers or main contractor, I think that kind of challenge is happening in that level, not between where I am working in the foundations, to be honest. We don't get much affected.
Well, that's good. I thought I'd ask, because just I had these visions of crazy shapes. And then I guess, would there ever be a case to say my future mega project will be in somewhere with no geological problems, no adverse weather conditions, so I can build it with a mesh or without real foundations? Is there ever a case, that could work?
Oh, that's hard to say, but I don't imagine that is happening. I don't imagine ha that is happening in any near future. I mean, it should be like, yeah, if you manage to somehow make a weightless buildings, maybe that could be the case. But yeah, no, it's not happening in the near future, no.
So what then has been the evolution of the technology behind foundations? I mean, some foundations that even are common to me, thinking about house building. We talk about raft foundations. We talk about I think it's crawl space foundations when you do an extension. What about some of the bigger ones? How has that the approach sort of evolved over the last 20, 30 years?
Well, when you when it comes to drilling works, it has certain It has certain risk in it, and some of the risk comes from comes because it's people are involved in it. And I think the technology is evolving around how we can do this job without people. So you can imagine, like, I think that what comes to my mind first is just some robots doing this drilling works, like they're taking the risk and just like if you are not depending on people, like qualified people to do your foundations, then maybe things can be safer, less costly, and maybe a better standard quality that you can apply more places. I think the technology is evolving. Besides looking for like more sustainable options, like making the I don't know, drilling rigs work with the electric powered or stuff like that. I mean, beside that, it's just I think general approaches to how we can remove the people man-made mistakes, which I think would apply whole construction business, to be honest, because wherever human makes mistakes, right? And wherever you can remove this, then I probably would eliminate a lot of issues.
But then perhaps there's no sense checker to say, let's automate the complete construction. But oops, we have not sense checked the price. The robot says, congratulations, but now this is the bill for my services or for this material. I don't know. Or maybe you are the sense checker. Maybe you are. That's why your role will remain crucial because. Maybe a contractor would say, "Right, off you go, begin, robot," but you're actually a bit of a geopolitical role as well as an engineer, aren't you?
Yes, it would definitely. It's well, it's also, I mean, I think it would remove the all the fun because and that's job sites are fun because of people. Well, I believe so, and I can't imagine working with the robots or just non-humans, I would say. It's not. I don't see that's also happening in the near future because it's, as you say, like once. You need those senses. You need to have those people over there. Hey, you are doing this right now, but this might go wrong, right? That someone has to say sometimes.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so maybe then it's your position, not just as an engineer, but as a networker, a communicator, because we mentioned maybe a twisted building, and you said actually that's more maybe for the civil engineer to worry about. But what about your relationships with structural engineers? Because structural engineers, when we think of earthquakes, they say, don't worry, as a structural engineer, I have allowed the building to sway. Or something like that. Maybe could you paint a picture about how your work and the structural engineer integrate?
Well, designers are not the most experienced people when it comes to the foundations, right? So they don't have that simulation in their mind. Okay, so this is the foundation I need. That's all they can focus is that's what they need, right? And sometimes it's not always possible to give them what they need. It's just sometimes not possible, or it's just not cheap enough. It's not safe enough. And when this happens, you as a project manager, like you are looking for your options to like how you can educate these people, how you can find a middle point where you can work with them, where you can collaborate with them, because they also, it's not like designers are not against of what you are saying, but they just don't know enough to understand what you are saying sometimes. And in this at that when that happens, I think the engineers, designers, they should really just listen more and understand what is really their sub trades or foundation experts are telling them what can be done. Because in this sector, you really need to push your limits. Like you need to try what is undone. You have to.
So what limits are undone? Because, in my layperson's imagination, a foundation of rubber would be good for an earthquake, right? But is that crazy? Like what is the limit of strong foundations?
I think limits are like depending on what kind of tools you have and what kind of imagination you have, and then you're willing to do what is necessary, right? So you can't just, when you are in this business, you can't just say, hey, this is like, you want this foundation to be like a 5 meter below the ground, and you want us to build it there, but we can't do it because it's impossible. And then you can't say this to your clients, right? You have to come up with your solution, and then find a way to do it like how they want it, or what is the real situation on the job site. Some job sites might have like, let's say you're working by the river, and then there is like a, hey, you can, here's like a yearly, the river is just raising like 5 meter, 6 meter, and then you can only work in this period of time. And but then you can always find a solution. Hey, we can work in this high platform. We can drill like extra 10 more meter. Just fill up this job site, and then they would be eager to do it, because if you're saving them a day, they would go for it. A day sometimes can mean for main contractors like close to a million or maybe millions. It's just a one day job. It can mean a lot for those mega projects.
And so, also pushing boundaries. I don't know if you remember some of the Japanese articles after the big Japanese earthquakes, in the last few decades. But one of the things that I think hit the headlines was the idea of levitating foundations, which to me sounds like science fiction. The idea that you just use compressed air or allow the foundations to, I don't know, sit in a tube. And I mentioned rubber, but
Yeah, they
like,
have such things.
what, is it fiction or is there a place for that in the
No,
future?
I think they are doing it. I mean, those guys are like dealing with like a seven, eight, with those earthquakes. Like they are very heavy earthquakes they are dealing there, right? So they are looking for solutions, and I'm sure they haven't found the best ones yet. I'm sure they will come up with that solution eventually, because you always have to find your solution. It's just, you can't just get aside and, hey, this is impossible. It's not the case. When it comes to construction, people want different things, and people have different needs. And just those geological problems, such as earthquakes or floods, or, I mean, since the start of the mankind, they always found the solutions, right? And we will not stop finding them. Nevertheless, yeah.
And so, because everything can be quite changeable, can I bring us back to the original site selection question? Because I'm sure, there are, people working on plans for a new power station, a new city, a new data center. How could they ever find out not just the structure today, but the potential settlement issues of tomorrow? Because how do you know, just because the ground is the way it is right now, that it won't settle in a slightly different way and ruin everything? Or is that just, beyond my pay grade? That's an engineering question.
It is an engineering question for sure, but it's just what I have seen so far is those things happens. Like you build something, and like 5, 10 years later, or maybe just a couple years later, they find out like, Hey, this building is settling more than we thought that it would, and that's a problem. And it can point several different problems. It can be the foundation was not done in a good way, or there was the lack of quality, or it was just not a good job, or maybe it was just not a good design. But this happens, right? So it's people involved in this, and we make mistakes. Like it, even if you are the best engineer, you would do a mistake one or another. Like there's no perfect job. It's just that's why engineers are using those safety factors, right? If they need I don't know, they don't go with just the 100% what they need. They go with the 150% of that, so they can feel safer. They can. Their assumption can be more, more bigger than their needs. So,
And I guess that means that they're prepared to retrofit. They're prepared to deal with the future. And the famous example, which obviously is not a new thing, but the Leaning Tower of Pisa seems to have found a way to have its foundations settled. It is the leaning, I know this is not your specialism, but is the Leaning Tower of Pisa a good case study in retrofitting foundations?
They do that, like especially in Europe, like because it's more old settlements, or like people have been living there longer than in North America. It's over there the foundation works are way different than what we have here actually. It's they are there dealing with that old tower that is just settling not balanced way, and then but in North America, you don't have much narrow spaces or something. You don't like the soil over here. Just okay, go 5 kilometer away and then just build whatever you want there. You know, it's total different market and different geography. That's why actually, like the big, I think the big foundation companies are just coming out from Europe, I think, just because they have been dealing with different problems, you know, that you don't have in North America, I would say.
That makes sense with all the historic buildings, and even in London, people want very deep basements underneath old houses. How do you create the basement but you stop the house falling down? It's a totally different market. So what then do you think is the future for strong foundations? What kind of technology do you think we might be surprised to hear about? What would you like to exist that may not exist now? Maybe a new type of LiDAR, or some kind of surveying methods, a new type of gelatinous base. I don't know. I'm clutching at straws, but what do you think we're going to see, and what would you like to see in the future?
I think it's just if there was a way to see what you're building and just capture it, what it looks like, maybe then the engineers would feel more comfortable of what they have planned to do, because it's always the quality issue, right? It's just you don't know what is really underground. You just sometimes it's just, oh, we got some water pressure here. Oh, we got some concrete leakage here. It's just those cases, no one knows the answer 100%, right? It's just your best guess, and it's just not always true. And that's why they have developed different methods of different testing methods to prove what is the end product, right? Just to really prove it. And but this doesn't mean, like, so you make your test and then you apply it just a couple of piles maybe, and then And then what? You have like hundreds of piles there, and then you're just testing just a couple of them. And is that mean that all of them is the same quality? But no, it's just the engineering perspective, right? It's just you have to take something as a right. You have to assume correct what like within best in your knowledge. You have to just assume what is it or what it can be, and then you have to just find like you have to plan your project according to this findings. You can't know 100%, but as I said, that's why there are safety factors, there are regulations, you know. And but how much of it can be transferred to the job site? This is also another question, right? I wish there was a way to really those regulations or those methodologies of construction, it's written away, it's written the best way it can be, and but are they really being transferred to the job sites? That's I think one of the problems I see, because anyone can run a business, and like you have got like some foundation like foundation experience in your past, and then you start building foundations for other people that they also don't know, and then there's just always a lack of quality, which should not happen actually, because people deserve better, right? People just deserve better, and I don't know, it's I think that would be my wish to see that is that's quality standards are somehow like it's under control, you know. I think that's what I would like to see.
Fantastic. And I had totally not anticipated that. I was imagining, maybe a spring coil foundations, but you took it in a very relevant direction of visualization. And how do you test everything at once? How do you actually see what's happening in real time? Maybe that is a new type of LiDAR or radar or something. I don't know, but it would certainly make your job a lot not easier, but it would be more
No.
reassuring. It could lead to less over-engineering, which could lead to
Yeah,
cheaper.
cost effective. Yeah,
Still.
definitely. Definitely, it would help. It's just not the time yet. But I think that the engineers would never give up on their safety factors, you know. It's just no one, you don't want to risk people's life, right? And it's just when it comes to construction, you can just easily become a murderer, like when it happens, like when some earthquake happens and then some people die, which is happening pretty often in the world, and that's what you want to avoid actually.
Yeah, because then it doesn't matter. It'll all come back to the
yeah
beginning.
yeah
So yeah, okay. So maybe we don't have to under-engineer it, but it'd be still good to visualize how things are going at all places.
It would be. Well, the rest of the construction is at least visible, very visible, very visible, and you can see. And but when it comes to foundations, you have to rely on those tests, those proofs, so-called, and your assumptions and your experience from the past, what was there, and really make your best decision according to those findings.
Fantastic. Well, I think the rest of the mega project didn't anticipate they'd learn all this from the world of foundations. Part of the mega project world just arrive and say, "Oh, good, I can now develop my piece," and other parts are thinking about investment and putting together deals. But I think we've demonstrated why strong foundations are critical, and can actually be an aid to their work too. Which I think is pretty useful. But what about you, Najati? What's next for you? Are you developing any new white papers? Are you going to speak at a conference? Are you going to be working on anything that you want to share with the community?
Well, I am right now just taking a different step. Like I'm just going to the project management direction, like what I'm doing in the recent years, and I want to just stick with this for a while and just became really a wanted project manager in this sector over the years. And I actually recently moved to Canada to like make this dream happen. And yeah, so I'm exploring and exploring our sector in Canada. And as I said, it's just a little too different than European market that I was used to. But yeah, so just catching up.
I like it. Yeah, the art of the possible in Canada and North America, and we have in fact, spoken to colleagues working on other sectors in Canada, and it seems all very exciting. From mass transit to highways to data centers, I think, yeah, lots of fun
Yeah, in
projects.
this growing economy, yeah, that's just a lot of construction to do in this part of the world. A lot of them.
Great. Well, Najati, thanks very much for coming on. It's been a pleasure shining a light on strong foundations. This has been another fantastic edition of the Mega PDI
Thank
podcast.
you very much, Fadum. I had a really good time as well with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening. For more mega project related content, go to megapdi.com.